Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Pittsburgh Pop with Tim Benz and Rob Owen, your weekly slice of pop culture here at Trib Live. Rob, of course, TV talk, TV Q&A at Trib Live. That's where you can read him. You can read me for sports at Breakfast with Benz every day, Monday through Friday. Lots to write about for me coming off the Patriots win over the Steelers in the opener at Acrisure Stadium on Sunday afternoon. Rob, a game that everybody in Pittsburgh who is watching it kind of wishes that they didn't, and yet at the same time, a lot of people who have DirecTV are mad that they couldn't watch it at all. Second week in a row, the NFL Sunday Ticket having problems, huh?
Yes, but only on streaming through the app. If you were watching it on TV, you could watch it through, you know, regular television, linear TV means. The issue was with watching it through their app. For some reason, that did not work again. They got it working by about 4 o'clock Eastern on Sunday. But at that point, you know, games had been missed.
Yeah, the Steelers already blown their game by then. And you know what? There were a lot of games, as was the case in the first week, where we saw dramatic finishes, huge comebacks, and people couldn't get on board to watch the whole thing happen. They got the tail end, maybe, but, you know, like that crazy game between Baltimore and Miami. There was a 21-point comeback. The story was in the comeback.
Right.
You know, there was a comeback by the Jets against the Browns. The story was in the comeback, not necessarily just, you know, the last play of the game. It was how they got there, and they weren't able to see that. And the NFL is patting itself on the back and doing all these changes because they want people to be able to watch the games on the fly. They want people to be able to plan their lives around doing what they want to do on the weekends, but have the NFL literally in their back pocket while they're doing it, and to charge people what they're charging people and then not have the platforms work for the first 2 weeks. That's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem that it did not work on the app or online. And I don't know if this is a function. I mean, I would think if DirecTV really wants to be in the bidding, because this is their last year with Sunday Ticket. And so if they really want to be in the bidding for next year, you would think they would be ensuring that these mistakes did not happen once, let alone two consecutive weeks. Although I think that it's unlikely that DirecTV gets Sunday Ticket back. It seems more likely that Amazon or another streamer, or Apple, I think those are the two others who are going to bid on.
I know that they are still thinking about DirecTV anyway, because from what I've read the same things that you have, that the Apple or Amazon is likely to get the rights that DirecTV currently has. But the package that exists that the NFL sells to distributors to put in public venues, like sports bars,
yes. Yep.
DirecTV is still going after that.
Yes,
I'll be honest with you, Rob. Aside from sports distribution, with the way streaming is going the way that it's going, I don't know what the future is for satellite TV. Do you know?
I mean, it is a downward and bleak future. I mean, you know, cable at least has the benefit of being able to bundle your cable and your internet if you're somebody like a Comcast or a Verizon. But yeah, for satellite distribution, you know, there are still many millions of people who have DirecTV or Dish Network, but it does seem like it is a business in decline that you will be managing its obsolescence if you're running one of those companies.
Okay, Rob, since last we spoke, the Emmys took place. What'd you think of who won? Who would you have liked to see win more?
Well, it was interesting. The top wins were generally kind of predictable, with Succession and Ted Lasso winning for drama and comedy, respectively. The White Lotus won for limited series. I was happy to see that. I liked The White Lotus, although limited series is such a tough category. There were so many deserving shows in that category. But if you drill down a little bit, there were a lot of newcomers who won awards. Cheryl Lee Ralph gave an amazing acceptance with her singing. Quinta Brunson won for writing a comedy for Abbott Elementary. Cheryl Lee Ralph won for supporting actress in Abbott Elementary, the comedy on ABC. I felt like below the top, there were a fair number of, you know, welcome newcomer winners, so it didn't feel like a complete rehash, which the Emmys tend to feel. As far as the broadcast goes, there was some really awful stuff. That opening number musical number that Kenan Thompson did. Like, why does no one think to tell these people this is a bad idea, or trust your instincts that it's a bad idea, Kenan? But then he had some good stand up that was funny. He made some good jokes. I thought the presenters, who clearly wrote their own patter, like BJ Novak and Mindy Kaling, I thought those presenters did a great job. Same with the Only Murders trio. I thought they did a great job. When you could tell that it was written by hacky comedy writers, then it wasn't such a good job. I thought that in spite of some of the production mistakes, that it was a good telecast because of the speeches, because of the reactions, that sort of thing.
Speaking of Kenan Thompson, I know there's a lot of changes afoot at Saturday Night Live, right? Isn't the cast like almost unrecognizable this year? There's tons of newcomers.
I wouldn't say unrecognizable, because the cast was super large last season. And although I think they lost four people, they're gaining four new people. Actually, they lost more than four people, I think, now that I think about it. It was more like five or six people that left. But four new people are coming as featured players. So, it will be different. It doesn't start till October 1st. We've got a couple more Saturday nights free. But I'm going to be very curious to see. I mean, you know, Saturday Night Live always goes through these periods of stability and then change when a really big person leaves, or in a lot of cases, big people leave. And so, you know, I feel like it's always found its way back eventually, and I'm sure that will be the case this time, particularly as it gets more topical going into election season. So I think, we'll see. I'm not writing its obituary, not yet.
I was just about to ask you that, actually. Is SNL too big to die, more or less, was my question.
I mean, at the moment, yes. But, you know, Lorne Michaels isn't going to be around forever. I think he's planning to leave after the 50th anniversary season. And I'm not sure. I think we're at 49 now, or maybe 48. I can't remember. So I think the big challenge comes when Lorne Michaels leaves as executive producer. I think then we can start talking, can this thing go on forever? But until then, it's going to keep going.
What you said about an election, that tends to be the case. It seems like a lot of times when SNL goes through a struggle, politics is what brings it back, and making fun of politics is what brings it back. I would argue that in my time watching that show over the years, though, it felt to me like it was always sort of a safe ground to go after whoever was in charge. Like, you know, just find somebody who's kind of looks like the president and make fun of them, and that's okay, and that's fun, and that kind of brings everybody back into the tent again. Like, especially if you have somebody good doing it, like Phil Hartman when he was Clinton, or Dana Carvey when he was the first George Bush, or Will Ferrell when he was the second George Bush. You know, like, you know, they had all these guys who were good impersonators, and it was a safe space to go after who was in charge. But now in the year 2022, I don't feel like people are as willing to laugh at their own team. You know what I mean? Like, there was a willingness for Republicans to laugh at Republicans back then. There was a willingness for Democrats to laugh at Democrats back then. And now I don't think that is viewed as much of a safe space to do anymore. Now it's our team against your team, regardless of circumstances. And I think SNL is sort of polarized in that regard, much like the political landscape has.
I mean, I disagree with that, because if you look at the last season, I think one of the highlights was the new guy they got doing Biden. Whoever they had before doing Biden, I agree, wasn't that good. But the new guy, his Biden was absolutely fantastic. And it was funny, and it was mocking Biden. I just think that there's one side that's mockable than the others when it's, you know, inciting insurrections and such.
Did that come into play ratings wise? Do you think? Well, how did SNL do in the books this past season?
I think it did well last season. I mean, in the sense that it was down no more than the average primetime television. But I feel like it always kind of ratchets up ratings in an election year. But you know, if you're going to say what were the ratings in 2021 compared to 2012, of course it's going to be down, but all of linear television is down in that time. I think Saturday Night Live has certainly held its own relative to the the ecosystem that is linear TV.
Couple series that are coming back. Abbott Elementary. We talked about Abbott Elementary a little bit already. It's coming back, and Quantum Leap is returning to NBC as well. And boy, are they pumping that. My goodness. Every spot block of every football game I've watched is constantly Quantum Leap.
Yeah. Did you watch the original Quantum Leap?
I saw an episode or two. Man, that feels like 50 years ago, and I'm not even 50 years old yet.
Right. Yeah. It was a while ago. So this Quantum Leap is a sequel series. So everything that happened in the old Quantum Leap happened. In this version, they are reactivated the Quantum Leap accelerator. There's a new guy, a new scientist who's doing the leaping with a new hologram or AI. I guess it's an artificial intelligence who happens to be his fiance. There's a whole team behind them. This reboot is sort of reminds me of the way they rebooted the Equalizer. In the original, the Equalizer was basically a one-man show, and now she's got a whole team behind her. In the same way, the original Quantum Leap was a two-hander with Scott Bakula and Dean Stockwell. In this one, there's a whole team behind them. But they make a lot of references to Scott Bakula. They seem to have a running storyline that involves mysteries around Scott Bakula's character and Dean Stockwell's character. Dean Stockwell's dead, so we know he's not coming back. And last week, Scott Bakula posted on Instagram, he's not coming back. So I don't see how this show works or lasts, because, you know, especially if part of it is trying to get the Scott Bakula character back from time traveling. If Scott Bakula has said he's not doing it, what's the point?
Yeah, I guess I could see it that way. Well, now, what about Abbott Elementary, too? I wanted to talk about that as well.
Abbott Elementary is just such a breath of fresh air, such a fun show. You know, it started mid-season last year, and it was the rare broadcast show, similar to Ghosts on CBS, that grew its ratings through the weeks. And that's just not something that you see very often anymore. I think coming off the Emmy wins, there's still room for more growth from Abbott Elementary. The first episode of the season that airs Wednesday night is a real, it's almost like a repilot. Like if you've never watched it, you can totally jump in and catch up with what's going on, who the characters are. It's a very funny half hour. It moves quickly. It's all about the teachers coming back for development day before the students get there. It advances some of the character stories, and it's a great half hour of television. So second episode, not quite as funny as the first next week, but this week's episode really quite strong.
You wanted to talk about reboot on Hulu too, right?
Yeah, that's coming on Tuesday. One of the co-stars is Krista Marie Yu, who's a Carnegie Mellon grad. You know, we have all these rebooted, we talked about Quantum Leap, that's a reboot of a sort, a sequel reboot. But Reboot on Hulu is a comedy about rebooting a fictional 90s sitcom. It's called Step Right Up. It's Step by Step. Keegan-Michael Key is the star. He's gone away. He's an actor, which reminds me of Robert Reed from The Brady Bunch, who sort of sees sitcoms as beneath him. But there's a script for a reboot that's edgy, and so he's ready to get back on board. But he'd had an affair with his co-star, and so there's all kinds of behind-the-scenes intrigue. It's from Steve Levitan, who was the co-creator of Modern Family, also a college fraternity brother of Ken Rice, just for the local angle, in addition to Chris Marie Yu. So it's cute. I don't love it, but I like it well enough that I will stick with it. But I'm also kind of a sucker for behind the scenes Hollywood stuff. So, you know, your mileage may vary on that one.
So Tell Me Lies is another one on Hulu, but you said you haven't seen that one yet, right?
Because I haven't seen that one
over my household here.
Yeah, it's gotten pretty good reviews. It's evidently quite steamy. I don't really know a whole lot about it. Maybe you know more if it's been playing in your home.
I know. What was the phrase? Something instead of relationship, that they're a situationship, like that's a word that's always attached to Tell Me Lies. That's a descriptor of some of the situations in Tell Me Lies, is toxic situationship. So where that's going, I don't know, but that's been a new entry into my vocabulary since this word has made its way through my household on many occasions the past week or so.
Yeah, so the show is is executive produced by Emma Roberts, and it's this based on a book by Carola Lovering, who's also consulting producer on the series, and it follows Lucy Albright, who quickly falls in love with Stephen DeMarco. Over the course of 8 years, we see how the relationship develops, although it isn't all sunshine and rainbows, because it turns out that Stephen has another girlfriend, and that's going to cause problems for the two to be together.
Two local notes before we go, Rob. First of all, and foremost, as it relates to television and football, the Steelers on Thursday night, Amazon, but for, again, people are freaking out about that, who had trouble watching the game between the Chargers and Chiefs on Amazon, and boy, were there a lot of them, figuring that out, to not have a game on regular television. For the Steelers, it's just going to be on Channel 11. It's just going to be on PXI.
Correct.
Let's talk about that, but also what it means for the Law and Order premieres and how people will be affected by that, which might be even greater than of an impact than watching the Steelers offense these days. And then there's also local news in the sense that my former intern, Erica Stanish, is now the new KDKA weekend anchor, huh?
Yes, she has taken over the weekend slot. You know, for years and years, Paul Martino was the evening weekend anchor on KDKA, and then management took him off the desk, and they tried Bryant Reed and Royce Jones, and that did not last long. And then they plugged in John Shumway. But then for the most recent period of time, she has been filling in. So the new news director just went ahead and named her the weekend evening anchor. So that has already taken effect there. So that's that.
Did you get a quote from her? And did she mention my tutelage and my mentorship?
We communicated. She did not mention that.
Oh, well, now I'm hurt. Now I'm,
yeah, I feel like I did not ask. And then as far as the Steelers go, a couple notes there. For people who want to watch communally in restaurants and bars, the game, the Amazon games are being carried on DirecTV for Business, so you can still get them that way.
That's what we were talking about before, and that's probably
exactly
where DirecTV will land. Yep. That lily pad might still be theirs.
Yes, I think this is probably a dry run for that. But for folks wanting to watch it locally, correct, it airs on WPXI Channel 11 Thursday night. But then what does that mean for the three-way crossover of the three Law & Order shows that premiere that night on NBC? Well, those will be on Against the Steelers on Channel 11.2, which is normally MeTV. Channel 11 has the option of taking over that channel and putting programming there. And so that is what they are doing. They're not broadcasting the Law & Order shows at a different time. They are airing at the normal time, but on Channel 11.2, which, if you have cable, I believe is carried, but you'll have to consult your local cable listings to figure out what channel that is.
Do they have the option to do both? Can they run it live on 11.2 and then, like, at a later time or at a different time run again?
I do not think so, because I think that triggers residuals. So no, they can't do that. You get it once, either at the same time, or if you choose to do it later, that's fine. But you don't get both.
All right, Rob, what do we have on TV Talk and TV Q&A this week?
Oh, well, TV Talk, we're going to be talking about Andor, which is the Star Wars series we discussed a little bit last week. That's streaming on Disney Plus later this week. And then in TV Q&A, can local stations refuse to put on political ads? That is our lead question there.
Well, I don't see enough of them personally. I would like more.
You want more? Okay. A whole channel.
I need more between Fetterman and Oz. Everybody needs more Fetterman versus Oz in their lives. We're not seeing nearly as much of that as we probably should be seeing. It's either that or Quantum Leap ads right now. That's all I'm seeing. I'm watching.
Maybe we
football.
Can combine the two. Combine the two somehow.
That's right. If we could take a quantum leap with Fetterman and Oz back to, like, when political ads weren't what they are now. Well, I guess they've always been what they are. We're just too naive to see through a lot of what they are. Now they're
that
just smacking us in the face. So, all right, Rob, thanks a bunch. People can read me Breakfast with Benz all week. And it is a condensed week with the Steelers playing on Thursday night. In fact, Mike Tomlin's press conference, we are taping this up. I'm hitting stop at 10:30 a.m. and Mike speaks at noon. So it's a day early for his press conference, which means our reaction and podcasts that come as a result with me and Joe Rutter, those will be a day earlier as well. And we just kind of speed up the clock to the Browns game on Thursday, which you can watch. Again, I'll say it, on Channel 11 and Amazon and in your local watering hole.
Can't say it too many times.
You'll be good. You'll be fine. This is another edition of Pittsburgh Pop.